Look, as I get prepped on my side to dig deeper into some of the questions, why don't you give an overview of what you do, a little bit of your background, and also a little bit of your history with CDSA and the APCP?
Yeah, sure. My responsibility is to look after the global anti-piracy and compliance programs that CDSA operate. I work out of the UK predominantly, but spend 1 week of the month in Los Angeles, which is a very nice gig to have, I have to say. And I have a team of 10 qualified and experienced auditors from the media and entertainment industry. All have a background really in engineering. We moved away from trying to recruit auditors per se, because we felt that the assessment process that the industry needs should be more focused towards the workflows, and we felt it was a better fit to recruit from an engineering background. So that's pretty well how we do the recruiting. We're currently auditing around 500 facilities a year. We operate out of a base of Australia, Singapore, London, and Los Angeles, and Tennessee, bizarrely. We also carry out penetration testing, detailed vulnerability assessments on networks, more and more penetration testing around applications, and we're partnering currently with the SANS Institute to try and develop best practice for the testing of media-specific applications. That's pretty well it, really.
In a nutshell.
I think one thing that's important for people to understand is the role of audits in our industry. And as an auditing entity ourselves, as we have been, it's been something that we've worked on so very closely to kind of enculturate our executive leadership within the Hollywood studios and the television networks around consistency in terms of approach, based on facility, based on what we are looking at. Can we talk a little bit about the consistency of our approach and our standard as it has sat? I think we're what, revision
three.
We're at the third
revision now. So, again, we don't consider ourselves a policing function at all. We're really an assurance process for the content owners, and actually, our most important role is to facilitate things to happen in a secure environment. So we try and get into the detail of the workflows that exist in the vendor supply chain, understand what needs to be done, and facilitate that in via a secure environment. So it's not an ISO type assessment process. There is a framework to it, there is structure and discipline around it, and there has to be an element of ethics and integrity to the process. But we see ourselves very much as a partner to the vendors and to assist the content owners to understand the security risks and manage those risks on their behalf.
We're in the midst of launching a new version, right? 3.0 is created. I believe we're socializing that as we speak and over the course of the next few weeks, right? We'll be rolled out completely, I believe, by June 1 at the latest. But let's talk about some of the other changes that are going on. I know we're having some very high-level discussion with other parties. Our board is very engaged and active. Where do you see this going in the next 6 months as we kind of move towards perhaps an evolved model?
Yeah, sure. So the biggest problem we've got in the auditing and assessment of our environment for vendors is there's too many. And it's very costly for the vendors to go through each process. The other thing is that pretty well every single assessment has a different feel to it, a different look. So that means that we've got a lack of consistency. I could go with one of my team to see a VFX vendor. We would be very focused on the workflow activities. One of the other associations, or indeed one of the teams from the content owners themselves, would go with a completely different focus. And we have to change that. I've been in this job now 2 years, and we set our stall out at the first board meeting that I attended to set a roadmap to an aligned process. that gets buy-in from all of the majors and as many of the independent content owners as we could possibly get, and our sister trade associations such as the Motion Picture Association, Cloud Security Alliance, so on and so forth. And so it's taken 2 years to get to this point, but we now have a consensus of opinion that this is the right thing to do. We have a set of common controls that are drafted. Version 3.0 CDSA content protection standard will be the first issue of those common controls. They've also been adopted within a number of the major studios, and they align completely with their requirements. So that should mean that we can reduce the number of assessments that take place within the vendor supply chain, but also, more importantly, they're focused on what the content owners need to have in place.
You know, you've been boots on the ground for... how long have you been in this role at CDSA? Five years?
8 years.
8 years,
yeah,
sorry.
8 years.
My apologies. It feels like five. We're having such a good time. You've been out on audits yourself, and you've obviously trained a team of auditors around the world to perform these things. Talk to me about consistency and approach. Because, you know, and by the way, not just on our approach, because we've worked really hard to have a consistent approach to how these audits are performed. But there was feedback out in the marketplace that drove that decision making within our organization. So talk a little bit about that, because I think it's something that's very, very important, the consistent approach on an audit side, especially taking cues from other industries.
So the MESA community creates an environment for us to sit and discuss all of these requirements, and the output from those discussions is that effectively we're going to operate a passport process that everybody will buy into. And what you do is, when you become an approved assessor within the community, and this will include the sister organizations and the content owner security departments, you will be issued a blank passport. And then we've identified around about 160 separate types of activity in the supply chain, and there are derivative and iterative controls within those 160 or so domains. And what we're going to do is we're going to issue the assessors a passport visa, and they will be approved to assess that type of environment. They will go through a mentoring process, an education process. They'll be put into the vendor supply chain to see how the workflow operates before being allowed to go out and actually carry out the assessments on our behalf. And that's another key part of this, you know, forthcoming change. CDSA will be the first to beta test this process. We'll be doing it from June 1st. And then we probably think the whole process will take another 6 months to roll out to the rest of the community.
Actually, that's, you know, it's interesting you bring up a point, because not only is the time for this process to begin for our industry, but also there's a massive scale issue in a sense of, when you think of the ecosystem of vendors who are out there providing services, one little tiny service maybe, right? Oh, I'm the fire guy, whatever. I'm the water guy. I'm the skin guy. When you look at how movies are made now, it is about, you know, embracing that whole that entire chain. And I think we've been a very small percentage in the past. Is this something that you feel is scalable and will what we pitched years ago was one industry, one audit. And are we moving towards that? And if so, then can we get to the scale that we need to ensure that our industry is safe?
It is going to move to one audit. The relevant controls will be dependent on the type of vendor activity. But in terms of reaching, it's a bit like Carlsberg advert, we need to reach the parts that other beers can't reach, right? So the way that we're going to do that is the bigger vendors, you can look around here, and the level of investment that goes onto these stands is the same sort of analogy within our vendor community. Some of the vendors, the larger vendors, can afford to throw $100,000 at their audit process annually as a budget. But actually, those people in the supply chain then sub out some of that work into the localization community, into the VFX communities. These are small shops, 2-4 people at most. They don't have the bandwidth to spend that sort of money on assessments. So the scalability of it means that we have to accompany that with affordability. And we can only do that if the community invests in the program. So, we've got 10 auditors globally positioned, so we don't have to long haul people. It keeps our costs low. We don't carry a big office. It's, the small overheads. And we reinvest 20% of all of our revenue from the vendors back into developing and further improving the controls.
And the community.
And the community, yeah. So it's a very important thing this is a non-profit exercise. It's all about reinvestment back into the industry.
Sure. One of the things that we helped pioneer in the business was a stamp, a certification, something where if I pay for and perform this audit, I own it as a vendor company or as a facility. Can we talk about that for a minute? In the sense that is there a challenge in our business of expecting the content holder to pay or expecting the vendor to pay, and how are we educating and enculturating around that to kind of at least put the cards on the table to say this is our path forward?
Well, there's a cultural aspect to it. So the vendors are given custody of very important material, very important assets to the content owner. So they have a level of responsibility. And the content owner's view is that means that as part of their deal, they would be expected to pay for securing the process whilst the assets are in their custody. So that's the view of the content holder. I have to say that the vendor community is accepting of that, but they need it to be affordable. From a vendor's position and the certification, again, it's a different view. It depends where you're sitting. So from a vendor, if they're going to pay for something, they want something to be able to show for it. And the certificate gives them that badge of honour. It shows that they've gone through a process, and they do own the report. So it's up to them if they want to distribute it and how they want it to be distributed to what audience. The content owners, they're not so interested in the certification program. So what we're going to do, we're going to strike a balance. And the certification process may be removed as part of this alignment, but it will be a trusted partner network. So there will be a badge of honour that accompanies it. So you will become a participant in that network of people. So you will get value for money from that identity.
But also, when you start talking about, okay, this one audit is essentially going to knock down and take care of, some of these larger companies have been visited many, many times throughout the year by different entities and based on different requirements. I mean, the idea is if we all get on the same page, we're all studying the same book. As we shift that burden to the vendor, if they're not used to it, they've already saved the money in terms of time, energy, and effort from not being audited all those extra times. And that's what I was...
It's a cost benefit to it. So it's part of the deal, isn't it? So yeah, for something between an investment of $3,000 and $10,000 a year, you're going to be able to get into that trusted partner network. That sort of cost base is where we're trying to pitch it.
All right, I'm heading back to the title, The Importance of Audits Within the M&E Industry. Maybe, should we riff a couple minutes? Because, this guy goes by so quick, right? We're already done. And by the way, if you have any questions, feel free to raise your hand. Any questions about anything that we're talking about up here? Oh, can we get Mike out?
He's got it.
Well, then by all means, I'm not going to ask you another question. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
So I'm an IBMer, and I work with a technology called blockchain. And
you're an
IBM?
Oh, IBM.
One of the benefits of this technology is kind of automated workflows and software-defined audit processes. Are you looking or investigating any other technologies that could potentially automate a lot of the services that you're doing, someone that's like a subscription process or anything like that?
We are, yes. So a part of the control framework is that we will demand an annual vulnerability assessment and penetration testing, and also quarterly and monthly automated assessments across the network. So there is a level of automation that we're building into the controls framework. And we've developed a piece of software for the risk management assessment process. So yes, we're investing you know, $500,000 or so into that at the moment.
And also from an industry perspective around blockchain, it's being investigated, it's being explored, it's still a little bit early. I think the impact of blockchain technology on existing workflows is probably its biggest barrier because of the investment in terms of time, energy, effort, technology, time, energy, effort, training workforce. It's not necessarily a plug and play principle because it's now one to one rather than one to many, in theory. But ultimately, that's something that as the industry kind of catches up and wraps their mind around that, because it could revolutionize our business. But we have so much other stuff to fix kind of before we get right to that piece. But as that gets adopted, of course, we're always trying to stay on the leading edge without disrupting the legacy of our business. It's almost like going from traditional broadcast to IP delivery. Yes, we could flip a switch and all go to IP delivery right now. If the technology's there, it's done. But we're kind of dragging along some analog legacy and some enculturation, right, of executives around it. So I see that happening in, 3 to 5 years, especially as other industries embrace and take a model and adopt it to media and entertainment in particular. Because it's easy when you talk about banking, finances, and those types of transactions. What the music industry does with blockchain is going to be a huge, canary in the coal mine, for lack of a better metaphor, in terms of what we will do with motion picture and television. Any other questions? Oh, here in the front row.
I came in a little late, so maybe you already covered this, but which major studios are taking a CDS, CDSA audit in
approach?
There's different
levels of commitment, to be transparent, but every major studio is represented on our board.
As a board member or a content advisor?
As a content advisor, or a board member, but they're, we have a representation from every major studio, and a good proportion of the larger independents also. So the level of commitment is very high. They've been very appreciative of the changes that we're trying to make to the alignment, because actually this is all fruit at the end of the day. It's like, we know all the right notes, but at the moment we haven't necessarily got all the notes in the right order, and we need to make that happen. Sure. And we need to get the sister organisations on board. And the MPAA is the representative body of those major studios. We represent a much wider community. So we've got music companies, we've got games companies, we've got publishing companies involved in our program also.
Yeah, when you look at, we've done a lot of work with the MPAA in the last year. A year and a half, and of course our chairman of the board is from Walt Disney, right? Ben Standard from the Disney, Walt Disney Studios.
Just one other point it's worth noting is that CDSA doesn't just assess against its own program. CDSA also carries out assessments against studio specific requirements and also the MPAA best practices. The only difference with that, when we do an MPAA best practice assessment, is it doesn't qualify as part of their program, but they are comfortable and quite happy and accepting of us to do assessments against their best practices.
So we've been working very closely with the MPAA, but one of the benefits that we bring to the table is that people like Amazon and Netflix and Hulu, and it's not traditional motion picture, more television based, can be part and involved in CDSA. So they look at that as a benefit from our side. And I would say three majors are in above boards and on our board. That's NBC Universal, who we got a long relationship with, Paramount and Walt Disney. And then the other ones, they might not be able to sit on the board because of a contractual conflict because they hired us to do some type of work. So.
So having somebody on the board is different than having the studio
say that
a CDSA audit is approved, right?
Correct.
So I still have to go through a Disney audit regardless of whether a Disney member is sitting on CDSA's board.
Depends.
You do at the moment.
Yeah.
This is very important. Yeah. The point you're raising is very valid. You do have to go through multiple assessments at the moment. So we're currently in an advanced stage of alignment. You probably missed this before you sat down, Chair. Very quickly, within the next 6 months, we will have a set of common controls that everybody's going to buy into, have already bought into. It just needs to be reconciled and ratified at a board level within the associations, and it will come out. So the changes that you're probably seeking within the supply chain are going to happen.
And I will also say, Disney is also in a very unique situation. Because of their properties and because of their investment in their own programs, they probably are one of the gold standards in terms of the business. But at the same time, we're working as the chairman of the board. That's a pretty explicit endorsement, and you will see a lot more developments before the end of the year in terms of them overtly endorsing what we're doing. All right. Awesome. All right, we're out of time. Chris, that was awesome. Thank you so much. Safe travels back to L.A.